The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew Podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius' Meditations, Book 10, Chapter 30. And I read this in the Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday under the August 31st entry. I'm a little bit behind. His translation reads as follows. Whenever you take offense at someone's wrongdoing, immediately turn to your own similar failings, such as seeing money as good or pleasure or a little fame, whatever form it takes. By thinking on this, you'll quickly forget your anger, considering also what compels them. For what else could they do? Or if you are able, remove their compulsion. Okay, now, plain shot, simple meaning here, is he's talking about how to deal with or react to other people's wrongdoings. And basically, you have to recognize that this person is only acting on what they think is good. And you yourself do that. You pursue what you think is good. And sometimes you're right and sometimes you're wrong. But you can't really fault someone for pursuing what they think to be good. You know, people make mistakes. Now, again, this is not absolving all people from all bad things that they do, but he's trying to give you a perspective to be able to have compassion on the other person or to realize that it's not out of malice, or even if it is out of malice that they did wrong to you, then the malice is something that is misguided, that they think that acting maliciously is a good and they're mistaken. So really this is about how to deal with other people, but that's not why I'm talking about it today. I read this morning and it answered a question that I've had for a long time on vidui, on the formula we use to confess our sins to Hashem. And I think the reason why I associated to that is because this morning I also read the best answer I had read up until then, which is from the Rav, from Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. So I'd like to just talk through that and see where it leads. So let's start off with the basic sources. We're going to begin in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah 1:1, the laws of repentance. Kol ha-mitzvos shebatorah, all of the commandments of the Torah, bein aseh bein lo taseh, whether positive or negative. Im avar adam al achas mehen, if a person violated one of them, bein bezadon bein bishgaga, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Okay, meaning intentionally meaning that you know that it's wrong, you know that it's prohibited and you do it anyway. Unintentionally would mean that either you don't know that it's prohibited or you don't realize that you're doing the prohibited thing or you forgot. So whether you violated it intentionally or unintentionally, kishiyase teshuva v'yashuv mechato, chayv lehizvados lifnei hakel baruchu. A person is obligated to return, when a person does teshuva and returns from his sin, he is obligated to confess before God, blessed is he. Shenemar, as it is stated in Bamidbar 5, 6 through 7, ish o isha, a man or a woman, ki yasu mikol chatos ha'adam, when they do any of the sins of man, limul ma'al bad Hashem, to commit treachery against Hashem, the ashema ha'nefeshahi, that soul will become guilty, v'hisvadu es chatasam asher asu, they shall confess the sin that they did. Rambam says, ze vidui dvarim, this is a verbal confession, uvidui ze mitzvah seseh, and this confession is a positive commandment. Okay, now the Rambam says what you're supposed to say when you confess. Ketzav mizveda, how does one confess? Omer, he says, Ana Hashem, I beseech you Hashem, Chatasi avisi pashati lefanacha. I have, and these are three words for sin. Okay, we're going to go into that in a second. I have sinned in a manner of chet, I have sinned in a manner of avon, and I've sinned in a manner of pesha before you. Vasisi kach v'kach, and I've done such and such, and that's when you specify your sin. V'hari nichamti uboshti b'ma'asai, and I regret and am ashamed of my actions. U'l'olam eini chozer l'davar zeh, and I will never go back to this, I will not return to this thing again. Zehu ikaro shel vidui, this is the root or the essence of vidui. V'chol hamar b'lehiz vados umarech b'inyan zeh har zeh meshubach, and the more a person elaborates on this, or increases on this and elaborates, then the more praiseworthy they are. Okay, so the question really stems from the three words that are used for sin. Okay, chatasi comes from the root chet tet aleph, which means to sin, but it also means to miss a target. Okay, like if you're firing an arrow and you miss, then that would be the verb that you would use would be chet tet aleph. Okay, so usually chatasi has the implication of sinning unintentionally, shogeg, okay, or shkaga, unintentional sin. Avisi comes from the root of ayin vav nun, Or sorry, ayin vav tav, which usually carries the implication of intentional sins. And then pashati, I have offended, I guess might be the, or I've rebelled, has the connotation of rebellious sin. So essentially what you're saying when you confess is, I beseech you, Hashem, I have sinned unintentionally, I have sinned intentionally, and I have sinned rebelliously. Okay, so the question, and this question was first raised by the author of the Kuntres, of Lemikdach Ulemichros B'Mishnah Torah Rambam. That's the first place I saw it. The author of the Kuntres says, why is it that every time we do vidui, anytime we confess any sin, then we mention all three? Okay, really, what you should do is you should only mention the category of sin that you actually committed. So let's say, for example, I accidentally turn on the light on Shabbos because I forgot that it was Shabbos. So I should say, chatasi. I should say, I sinned unintentionally. Why am I also saying I sinned intentionally and rebelliously? Okay, or if you, let's say you decide to go and knowingly eat a cheeseburger, okay, and then it comes time to do tshuva and you say you're vidui, why would you say chatasi? Why would you say I sinned unintentionally? That was totally an intentional act, you know? So the question is, why do you use all three terms in each confession? Okay. So the author of the Kuntres has an answer on this, and it's a good answer, but it requires an entire shiur about the nature of vidui, which essentially amounts to the concept that when you say vidui, the vidui is really not only the capstone for your teshuvah process, but it is also an articulation of fundamental ideas about sin and teshuvah. And so you're articulating a concept that references all three types of sin. Okay, I'm not going to try to summarize the shir here. You'll have to look at that on your own. Okay, but an idea that I found that I really liked was from the Rav, from Rav Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik. And this is summarized and printed in the Art Scroll Rav Machzor for Yom HaKippurim on page 111. Okay, I don't remember offhand who wrote these summaries or this digest of commentaries, but the source that the footnote ascribes this to is Teshuva Lecture 1967. Okay, so I'm just going to read from the Siddur. Okay, and this is on a phrase in the Tefillah of Yom Kippur that says, "Ata chofes kol chadrei vaten uvochen klaios v'lev." You, God, investigate all the innermost chambers of one's belly, and you test thoughts and the mind. Dot 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 uvochen hiraton, and so too may be your will. Dot 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 shetislach lan al kol hatosenu v'simcha lan al kol avonosenu v'uschaper lan al kol pesha'inu. That you forgive us for all of our chataim, all of our unintentional sins, v'simcha lanu al kol avonoseinu, and you pardon us for all of our iniquities, for all of our intentional sins, u'sechaper lanu al kol pesha'inu, and you atone for us, provide atonement for us on all of our rebellious sins. Okay, so the commentary here says, why is there a juxtaposition here of Hashem's omniscience and the forgiveness of sin? The Gemara in Yuma 35b explains that chet is a sin that is accidental, avon is a purposeful sin, while pasha is a sin motivated by defiance. On his own, a person is unable to classify his sins under any of these categories. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva 3:2 explains that the severity of any individual's sin can be assured only by God himself. A person can sometimes feel that he committed a sin unintentionally, when in reality, the sin is considered as having been committed intentionally. On the other hand, a seemingly intentional sin may sometimes be considered unintentional. The Rav told a story about a congregant of his who had sent his daughter to an Ivy League college, allowing her to live in the dormitory, quote, so that she could fully experience campus life, end quote. Unfortunately, this daughter later married a non-Jew whom she met there. The father rent his clothing in anguish. This certainly was not an outcome that he had anticipated. Yet in God's eyes, was the sin of this father regarding the upbringing of his daughter intentional or accidental? Alternatively, there are many Jews who willfully violate the Sabbath, but there is a halakhic concept of tinok shenishba, a Jewish baby who was raised among the Gentiles, who is not considered culpable for his sins because he was never taught Torah. Are these many Sabbath-violating Jews guilty of committing sins purposely or unintentionally? The line between chet, unintentional sin, and avon, intentional sin, is not always clear. There can even be ambiguity in the categorization of defiant or rebellious sins. According to the Ramah in Hilchos Shechita, pasha includes sins that were performed through carelessness. The demarcation between chet and pasha can therefore be equally unclear. The sinner thus cannot accurately categorize his own sins. He therefore approaches God, noting that he, God, probes all our innermost thoughts and searches our minds and hearts. Only he knows what motivates our various sins, and therefore only he can properly classify them. Okay, so that's the Rav's answer, which I think is a beautiful answer, which is that it's true that you can categorize a sin based on your awareness of whether it was unintentional, intentional, or rebellious, but there's no guarantee that that classification is accurate. What you think is an unintentional sin might really stem from intentionality, or what you think is a rebellious sin might really be unintentional based on the way that you were brought up, even though you consciously experience it as rebellious. So in thinking about this, I associate, again, this morning when I read the passage from Marcus Aurelius, then I thought of this explanation from the Rav, and I'll just read this passage again now that we've read the Rav. Marcus Aurelius says, whenever you take offense at someone's wrongdoing, immediately turn to your own similar failings, such as seeing money as good or pleasure or little fame, whatever form it takes. By thinking on this, you'll quickly forget your anger, considering also what compels them. For what else could they do? Or if you were able to remove their compulsion. So what Marcus Aurelius is suggesting is when this person does, let's say, a willful act of wrongdoing against you, you should really frame it in a way where you realize that there is a dimension of unintentionality about it. In other words, this guy, let's say this guy, classic example. Let's say you're driving along and then car behind you, you know, thinks that you cut them off. And then they decide to retaliate by cutting you off, by driving in front of you in traffic really quickly. Okay, so this person, if you like were to ask them, did they do that intentionally? They would say yes. Okay, and certainly that is true. However, there is a dimension of unintentionality in it because this guy thinks, he thinks that being cut off by you is an evil or a bad. Okay, B, he thinks that retaliation is a good, and therefore it's proper to retaliate. And C, he is blind to the fact that he's endangering both of your lives and the lives of everyone else who's driving in that area by his reckless act of cutting you off in traffic. So this guy is really mistaken in many ways. I'm sure there are more ways than that. And if he were aware of his mistake, he would not do this. No one would intentionally endanger their own life for something that is not actually good. It's just that this guy thinks that this is actually good, or he thinks that it's not a danger. So my point is that there is an aspect of unintentionality in this guy's otherwise intentional act. So I think this is similar to the Rav's answer, but it's slightly different. Namely, that the Rav is saying that the reason why we say Chatasi, Avisi, Pashati, and we say all three categories is because we don't know which one it is. We don't know whether we're sinning unintentionally, intentionally, or rebelliously. I'm suggesting, based on Marcus Aurelius, that it's not that we don't know, it's that there is an aspect of all three in every chait, that even when we sin intentionally, there is an aspect that is unintentional, because if we really understood why this sin was detrimental, then we wouldn't do it. And similarly, there is a part of us that is rebellious, even in the unintentional sins, in the sense that we prefer to just operate based on our own, immediate sense of the good and the bad, in defiance of any other system or any other stopping to ask, like, is this really good? You know, so I think that's a slightly different answer, that in every chait that you do, there's an aspect of all three, and therefore you're not confessing. It's not like there's a suffix and you're being machmir. It's not like there's a doubt and you're being strict by mentioning all three types of chait, but rather in every chait, there are elements of all three. Okay, that's the idea. So let me know what you think. I'm sure there are other answers to this question, but it's a question that comes up every tshuva season for me. And now I have two answers, or really three answers, from the Kuntres, from the Rav, and from Marcus Aurelius. Okay, that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or a week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweis@gmail.com. I also am realizing I was just, I'll probably make an official announcement about this later on, but I was just notified that I am no longer going to be on the yeshiva's Zoom account. Up until now, I've been relying on YBT's Zoom account for all of my Zoom usage. There are some changes in plans. And because I'm going to be teaching at irregular hours this year, then there's a chance that I would my Zoom usage would come in conflict with the yeshivas. So I've decided to, starting in October, to break off from their Zoom account and have my own Zoom account, which means that I need to pay for it. I don't know how much it costs yet. I have to investigate which plan is best for me. But I think what I'm going to do, since I am not the only one who benefits from my Zoom usage, I think I'm going to ask if anyone is willing to sponsor my Zoom account. I think that is a reasonable request. I assume that it would go on a monthly basis. So, you know, if a person wants to sponsor 1 month, that would be fine. If they want to sponsor, more than 1 month, that is even better. So I think I'll make an official announcement about that later on once I figure out what the prices are. I'm just mentioning it now in case you hear the end of the episode and you decide that sponsoring my Zoom usage is a worthwhile use of your tzedakah. Okay. Yes, so that is it. And thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.